Welcome to the Shotlist. Today we're going to be talking about our creative process, both in fashion photography and fashion videography. So, welcome.
Welcome, Carla.
How's life?
Great. It's actually starting to become summer. It's really warm.
Same here.
I enjoy that. I mean, a lot more in Barcelona than here.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely. We're hitting 28 degrees today, so wow. Awesome.
What have you been up to? Really.
What I've been up to?
Yeah.
So, last week, the operation getting an agent or agency
has
started.
About that.
How's it going? It's going, I guess. It's been the first week. It's been mostly no at the moment. Like, no, we're not expanding our roster. But I mean, it's the first week, so we're gonna
keep you
kind
updated.
Of like take it slow. And I think it's hard to get an agency just to say yes to you in like one email. Yeah. Obviously. So I don't know. I guess slowly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not gonna obsess over it. I just think it's a nice plus to have.
Yeah,
because they do have those connections and like those projects coming in.
That's nice.
So kind of like hoping. What I've been getting, it's kind of like a, we're not expanding the roster, but if we have a project that we need someone and like or someone or you fit into like that, like
they're gonna
we'll
reach
keep
out.
You on
yeah,
fire.
Yeah. That's
so I think,
a good thing.
Yeah, just the first steps. Letting agencies know I'm here.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they don't know me, like,
yeah.
Exactly. I'm just getting on the radar. So I'll give you updated on the process. Maybe it takes 6 months, a year, two. We don't know. Maybe it never happens.
In some future episodes.
Yeah, like, we'll.
Yeah. But this episode, we have like a totally different topic.
Oh, yeah. Not even related to that one.
And I'm just going to start off with a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, imagine you are in charge of the creative direction.
I'm always.
How do you start a project? Where does your initial inspiration come from?
Okay, so obviously each project is going to be different.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll just have a random thought. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that'd be cool. Or I'll see a photo and I'll be like that photo, inspire, or like, it like sparks something in me that then moves on to something else.
Same. Yeah, I get that.
And I always tend to like just save them and keep a backlog of references and then I'll go back and mix them or be like, I like this and that from this and kind of like mix things. So it's always a bit different.
It's interesting for me to hear because I'm wondering if it's like similar to my process as a videographer.
Enlighten me. What's your process here?
So far, like actually the same. Mm-hmm. I do get loads of inspirations through like Instagram or Pinterest or like I'm really old school.
Mm-hmm.
Like magazines.
Yes.
I love that. I do take inspirations from photographs. Also videos, but also photographs, both for me work, because as soon as I see a picture, I can also like imagine
the video
how,
version
how it is as a video, how it works. So but like the problem I have, or it's not a problem, but it's like the challenge that I have is after seeing these inspos on Instagram or in the magazines, I don't want to copy it. Like I want to still have my own, add my own flair to it. So what really helps me is I work with the team. I really like to talk to them about what I've seen and then having their inputs. Like, for example, talking to the makeup artist who's like, oh yeah, this look would be cool. And I'm like, yeah, definitely. And then talking to a stylist, talking to a photographer and have like, have this conversation about our ideas and then creating something together in our team. So I don't know how, like, is that a thing for you, the like the social impact on your creative process or not at all?
Yes and no. Like, it depends on the type of project.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I see.
I might go, we're gonna go into a small run here.
Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's get into it. So if it's a really personal one or a project or a very specific vision I have, then I'll first sit down by myself,
true,
get
yeah.
a specific and as, you know, as clear of what I want and how I want it to look like.
Yeah.
Like the makeup, the hair, the lighting, the background, the type of styles. Like, I'll be very specific on all of that, like the vibe I want.
Yes.
And once I'm clear of like how the makeup, how I want the makeup to look, like how I want the styling to look like, then I'll go to like the creative team and be like, okay, here's the starting point.
Yeah.
I like this from her, like this from blah, blah, blah. How we can make it better? How would you do it? Like, what's your take on it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, is this possible? Is it not? Like, is it going to look weird or does it make sense for you to do this with like this outfit?
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of like very specific of what I like of each thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if I'm coming up with like the concept is being created with someone or it's a, like a project that's starting from the beginning different. With someone else, then obviously it's going to be me talking all the time. Obviously, when it comes down to like very technical things, then I'll think about them and show them and be like, okay, I have these two options. Which one do you think fits more?
Yeah.
But that's how it would go if I'm coming up with the concept with someone. Yeah. And then if it's paid work, obviously the brand already has...
they have a briefing.
The direction.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they'll just be a direction that's already given because they already have an art director. They just want you to have their idea and like transform it into...
Bring it
to life. So it does depend. Bigger brands, it's very structured. Small brands... Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a chaos sometimes because no one knows what's going on.
Yeah, but that's also cool for you because you can like really make your own like ideas come to life.
Yeah, but you need to learn how to treat with this, like how to work with the client.
Yeah,
because you know sometimes they'll propose something and you're like, that's not gonna work, and you know from experience, but they think it's gonna work.
Yeah.
And unless they see it or like have proof that it's not going to be worth it, like they won't change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I've come to like, I always try to make them think they've come up with the idea.
Yeah.
Or like the idea I have is thanks to them.
Yeah.
That way they kind of like feel they have the control over a part.
Yeah. So it's about kind of like selling it the right way.
Yeah. You need to learn how to sell to the client, which is the hardest part actually. Mm-hmm. Because when everyone is collaborating.
Yeah.
You know whose idea or project is, so everyone kind of like normally kind of like goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. But when the client needs to make money out of it, which is okay, like it's normal, sometimes like things get a bit out of hand or like, you know, there's a lot of egos involved sometimes.
Yeah.
So you need to learn how to create that, like be able to be creative with all of that involved, which is quite a challenge, I would say.
Yeah. I think that's a huge point, is sometimes you have the time for yourself to do this whole like creative process on your own and create the whole vision on your own and then search for the team who is like able to help you. And sometimes like you need to be in that process with other people and you need to find the middle way. Is that a... Do you say that in English or is that
middle,
a German?
Middle
saying?
Ground, I think.
Okay.
Instead of middle way, I think it's middle ground.
Yeah. Because when you said that, like, you start your vision on yourself, I do have that actually when I lack something. I feel like loads of the time, my inspiration comes from lacking something. For example, I don't know. I want to get better at lighting and I research light and then all of a sudden I have all of these ideas. Okay, I want to try this. I want to try this. I've never done that. I have a new lens, like a huge, like a wide angle lens. I want to do this with it and try that. Or I'm lacking something in my portfolio. Like I recently just done my first ever beauty editorial because I've never done that. And then from there, the ideas are coming. So I do have that as well. But because I'm working in a team regularly, I think the creative process differs from your creative process, for example.
Yeah, definitely. I think, well, for me at least, I normally have an idea or a feeling.
Yeah.
And then if I want to try something new, I'll see of the things I want to try, what fits better into the concept. But for me, the goal or like mm-hmm. the most important thing when personal project, especially, it's my vision coming to life.
Yes.
The yeah. aesthetic part.
Yeah.
More than the technical part, like that's fine. Like I'll do another True. Project that fits, but if I have like a feeling I wanna yeah. create or like a, you know, a little like visual I have in my mind, like that's the goal. Like that's what I want to achieve. And mm-hmm. then the rest is kind of secondary. And then True. Commercial jobs.
They're different.
I don't try to like invent things unless the client yeah. is kind of like, oh, we want this. And I know yeah. I can do it, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely made sense. I mean, at least for me, I don't know.
Cool.
But like, I also feel like sometimes the creative process can be quite uncomfortable because like loads of the ideas come when you step out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
And I know for myself that I need to do that more often, especially like working with different people, not mm-hmm. always the same, or like,
yeah, that's
trying something that you're not sure if it's gonna work in the end, but just try it. So I don't know. Are you stepping out of your comfort zone enough? Because I don't think I am.
No, no. For me, it's kind of the same because I've gotten used to working with the same people yeah. and it's very fun to yeah, do yeah. so.
Yeah.
But then it kind of limits me sometimes because I'll think, oh, this person is really good or really enjoys doing this. So if I have an idea that doesn't fully go with that, I'll be like, oh, like this means I need to research yeah. someone new,
yeah.
find someone who maybe has a better fit for that idea, which is fine. Not every creative is good for every idea. Like, of it's course. Fine. Like, it's part of the job. And it's kind of like, oh, like, you know, I'll do it because I have to do that extra work. Or like trying new things also means maybe I'm just losing my time because it's going to be shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, when I have time, when losing mm-hmm. like those, like a day of shooting and a day of editing doesn't mean I'm going to be stressed. It's kind of like, I don't want to, you know, wing yeah. it then. Which it shouldn't be like that because, you know, you learn by doing mistakes. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like being accountable for yourself.
Yeah.
But I do like, I don't know, I think I should like set like doing 2 times a year, do like 2 shoots that probably are just going to be,
yeah,
that's going to be like a wild card of like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yes. I think that's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
To just like do something crazy.
I mean, like whatever comes out of this is fine.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. But then I also don't want to make people waste their time.
True. So other people are involved, but they exactly. like they have their own voice.
Yeah,
if they don't want the risk, they don't want it, so exactly. they don't have to
if
join,
they
so.
Think they it won't work for them, like they can just say no, like a lot exactly. of people say, oh, this doesn't work for me, like I'm fine.
Exactly. Yeah.
We'll go yeah. for another one, someone else.
True. So yeah I feel like there are a lot of things in our everyday life to like inspire us, like there are loads yeah. more, like for me it's also music, movies,
yeah.
commercials and TV, like stuff like that. But
I think yeah. the inspiration also has to come at a time where you're willing to sit down for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And like write down something.
Yeah, yeah. You need to think.
Because sometimes
about
I've
it.
Had this great idea and be like, oh yeah, yeah, it's awesome. I'll do it. I'll deal with it next week. Next nope. week I'm not even excited nope. about that Mm-mm. idea, and I'm like, what was the connection I was making in my mind?
Yeah like, you need to write those down.
There's the sentence, I don't know who said it, but that's like inspiration, like has to like get like you have to have inspiration when you're working, otherwise like it's kind of useless. Yeah. I think it's the Spanish artist who said it in like way more like deep way and like fancier like sentences. But it's kind of like the you idea tried. Of like how many times like you've been sleeping, you're like, I had the best idea, and then you're like, I'll remember it in the morning.
No
it
way.
Never happens.
Yeah,
so kind of like
no way.
Try to like Mm-mm. write. I do have a note on my iPhone
yeah
of like random things, and I'm like yeah. what does this mean, like
I don't
what?
Know
what's wrong, but like what was wrong with me at that moment.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, but if you have like your inspo written down and you have your vision and your ideas, what are your next steps? Like, talk us through your process.
Okay, my process. So my process for me at the beginning, I used to just have like a bunch of Pinterest boards with like some notes and call it a day. But we've gotten a bit better. One of my teachers said, as a photographer, you need to have a backlog of ideas.
Yeah.
Just in case someone comes to you, you have, I don't know, you're depressed. And you're like, I have, don't have any ideas.
Oh, true, but true.
But you, like, it happens. We're humans. Like, our job is to be creative. You're not going to be creative all the time.
No.
And I do have more ideas than time to do them.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, okay, this idea, so it's doable. I need a big budget. I don't have it. I'm just going to save it. And hopefully, maybe some brand fits, like, the idea and can, like, do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I do like to have like a backlog of ideas or references. Sometimes I do have full-on mood boards that are kind of like ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just need to create a team and like it's ready to go.
Okay, I don't have that. That's ambitious. That's really cool.
And then, because maybe it's ideas that I wanted to do and because like life happens, I didn't have the chance to do them. But I'm like, I still like them.
Yeah.
I can do it another time. It's fine. And then I do have like ideas of just concepts, lighting references I really like or I want to try.
Yeah.
Like makeup or, you know, hairs that I like and then just images I like that inspire me. And then I'm just like, okay, I like this or retouching references. Like I have that too. And then I just kind of like mix and match. Or if I have a new project, I'll go to like the makeup references I have that I like and be like, okay, which one fits in here? I'll see. Mm-hmm. And I'll start pulling from there and maybe whatever.
Yeah.
And then I do also have a notebook with actual thoughts, proper thoughts, like where I've spent some time like doing some drafts.
Yeah.
And then I do have a bunch of photos of like when I go to museums and exhibitions and all of that. Mm-hmm. Where I have the photo of the art and then the text that they have, because that's the important part. Like, you know, you'll take the photo of the piece of art and you're like, okay, what does it mean? Like, what's the reference for this?
Yeah.
So that way I can use the artist's references or thoughts to build on that for more creative and like well-thought personal projects. But I think when a client asks for a concept, if it has some thought behind it, it's nice.
It
adds that extra layer of like, oh, okay, like, this is why we're using all of these and, like, the meaning behind it.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a mix and match and, like, trying to build something new.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, everything has been done, so it just...
Exactly. It's really difficult to create something completely new. Like, that's really difficult. But I feel like you just need to find your own personal style, even if it is a mix of other people's styles, but like
everyone is a mix of something else. Like
you need to find your unique selling point, like why you feel like that's really important. So
well, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been in one of the shoots. It's like a multiple photographers and like one model and one setup.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been, but like you've
probably seen.
Yeah. That
they do those.
I know the concept.
Like, it's funny to look at the photos. Everything is so different. Like So, just kind of everything's done. I mean, already done. Just when you're spin into it.
I have that when I like videograph fashion shows. And I feel like a fashion show is just like given. Oh. Like you don't have like, you don't do styling, hair, makeup. Like that's not.
You have to work with like what you have in front of.
Everyone
like street styling during fashion week. How many photographers
are
there?
Everyone has the same subject to capture. Yeah. Everyone has the same spot. So like. With editing, I can really bring my own style into it.
Yeah, I mean, comes editing, just like the slight change of angle and like the lens you use and kind of have you expose the photo. Like, I think that changes everything. So,
there's that. So, for me, I think after I've got my ideas and inspiration, because I work with a team, it's when I want to do it with them, first step is talk to them and then do a mood board together, because we have the expertise of like everyone. Like the makeup artist has her expertise, she can do the mood board on makeup and hair, and the stylist can do her thing. But if it's something that I'm doing on my own, I'm gonna do my mood board first and then look for people who match it or who I think will get the vision, because I feel like you cannot work with random people. You need to get people who have the vision, like who understand.
We've learned from those mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to our last episode. Yes. So, yeah. And to do a mood board, I use Canva. How do you feel about that?
Well,
I know you hate it. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm a huge fan of Canva. I think it's super easy. It's really easy to use, and you can share it with everyone on the team, and I feel like everyone can like add their pictures into it and stuff like that.
Maybe I'm very like controlling with that, but like I don't know, like I would never share like the Canva and then people add it. I'm just like, I'll ask them, send me your references, and then I'll build them into my graphic design style, or like my brand, like not branding, but how I want to present the idea if I'm going to submit the idea to a fashion magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to send them, like, each of the team using different fonts. Okay. I'm like, no. But send it to me, and I'll lay out everything nicely and organized.
Let me clear something up for you. Okay. I'm talking only about the mood board. Like, the things I send to a magazine, like, that's not a shared Canva. That's like a clearly structured presentation, but like the mood board itself for me is like easy if that's like shared and has like different fonts and stuff like that. But the things I just
ask them to send me the photos and be like, I'll build it.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so I use, so to create the mood boards, I use either InDesign, sometimes Photoshop, but it's a pain in the ass having different pages for Photoshop. And now I've also used Keynote, so like PowerPoint.
Yeah.
I have a template and fill it in, but now I'm trying to get used to Figma because I've used it before.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like being able to have it on my phone and everything. I know it's kind of like Canva. But I think I've gotten used to like the workspace and how it's everything organized and it's actually used for design professionally, so it has a better, like, some of the tools are, you know, why do I need some like random frames? Like, I don't need any of that.
Oh, I do. Excuse me. Maybe this is like a similar discussion to like people talking about Microsoft versus Apple.
Definitely. I think it's more like a personal preferences and what works best for you. So
exactly,
you use whatever you want to, but that's what I'm quite enjoying it now.
Yeah.
So
another thing is like, what is on your mood board? Because I feel like there is a difference between your mood boards for like photos and mine for like videos. Because obviously, like the regular stuff, like inspo for like angles, light, I have hair, I have makeup, I have styling, but I also have music, and I also have like a bunch of different songs that would fit the vibe of my video, to then be able to play them during the shoot so that the model can like get into the like vibe and move accordingly. And what else? I also sometimes I add, like, if I had like videos as inspo, I add them as well, so they can like see the pace of it. Is it fast? Is it slow? Like, what's the mood? What's the editing gonna be, kind of like? So I feel like that's a difference between your mood board and mine.
Yeah. So for my mood board, I mean, I've seen mood boards all shapes and forms.
True, true.
Some of them are just like a page with like a color scheme and like three photos. I'm like, all right.
Mine is organized, like each section has its own page.
Exactly. So I normally have like the title with a small like brief concept about it. I like to have concepts about it. Yeah, normally. Same. I know stories. It helps me. And then I'll have the team and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
First page is like what I call look and feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very random, like what I would like the final images to look like.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like break down everything because it's really hard to kind of like find the specific, you know, images for everything. So I'll do one for styling, one for makeup and hair. It depends on the looks. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, if I want three makeup looks, I'll specify like which makeup and what has. Same with outfits. Sometimes I'll just go with a general mood board of like styling, and then the stylist will come back to me and be like, okay, this is the more specific style. Then I'll have, if it's a location, then I'll have the location there.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's a studio, I'll maybe talk about like the backgrounds I want, the and all of that. Obviously, the lighting we have there. And then I do have a shot list.
Yeah. But that's the next step for me.
And then I'm really getting into specific, very specific shots. Like, I'll build them on Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be like, okay, so from the location, I want this pose here.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay, no, I don't go, like, for my mood board, I don't go into that much of
detail. I go, so from this location, in this specific spot, if I already have the looks beforehand, because sometimes it's last minute and I don't have them, I'll be like, this spot, this outfit.
Yeah. Okay.
And then.
But is that your, sorry, is that on your mood board or is that already the shot list? Because for me, that's, those are two different, like, files. Well,
I kind of like, my mood board like keeps being built.
So your mood board develops to a shot list.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then everyone has the whole information. Obviously, like the model agency doesn't need to know the look. Like, you know, not everyone on the team needs all the information at the beginning.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But if I'm sending it to a magazine or a client, the client wants to know exactly what they're going to get.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
And that's really important. The magazine, the more specific and clear you are of the final result.
Yeah.
Then the easier is to explain the idea.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to people who are not that technical. So if you go, I am going to have like two flashes pointed to the ceiling, you're like a reflector on the right. They're like, okay, like I get what you mean, but I don't visualize the result.
Yeah.
So I explain that and I give the visual representation. The booker or the model, when they see the mood board, they don't really need that. But I like to send the information later on to kind of like, okay, this is all that's going to happen. But the model needs like, the makeup artist doesn't need to know the poses really, but the model does. If you want like a really aggressive or laughing, like I've had models like, can you laugh? And they're like, I had to laugh. I didn't know. I'm like, yeah, it'd be nice. Thank you.
Yes.
So it kind of like, I built on it slowly.
Yeah. Okay.
And sometimes I'll break it, obviously, but I think that's part of the mood board too.
Yeah. That's interesting. Maybe, I don't know how, I actually don't know. Because I, like, my shot list is, like, I feel like probably different to yours because, like, I write down, like, movements as well. Like, it's going to be a zoom. It's going to be going to the right and to the left. And I need this and this and this. So
when I've did like, the video, yes, I've done, like, a storyboard.
Yeah. Yeah, like, storyboard.
When I've had, like, fashion films on and I was in charge of everything.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been, like, okay, first scene. This is going to happen, ABC.
Yeah.
Please record this. Thank you.
Yeah. So for me, I need them. I need mood board and shot list separate because like the shot list for me has so much info on it, like the light setup and everything. So for me, those are two different things.
But I think they're different files, but it kind of like go hand in hand.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then during the shoot, I'm going, like, I work with my shot list, but, like, I'm such a visual person. Like, loads of the time when I'm there, I see the model, I see her or him in, like, the styled with makeup and hair. Loads of the time, my creative process is also changing during the shoot. I mean, it depends. If I have a client who really, I want that, of course, I'm not going to randomly change it. But if it's my own personal project, I really also get inspired during the shoot or like, wow, this movement looks cool. Let me try this. Let me try another angle. Let me try this. So I really like to change things up as well, like during the shoot, when I have time and when I have finished my originally planned like shot list. So
I think there's nothing wrong with that. As a we're creative, so there's bound to be changes.
Yeah.
And you need to expect those.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as if it's a personal or paid work or commercial work, sometimes like improvising it's good.
Yeah.
Going with the flow.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as long as the goal is done, maybe what you improvise or like comes up with the flow, it's even better. Like it's not unusual for, I don't know, the model saying, oh, can we try this? And then it looks amazing. It just, you didn't thought like the model would look good in that way.
But exactly. That
looks great. Or, you know, sometimes like they just casually try something and you're like, okay, let's keep going that direction. I think if it's for a client, if the client is on set, they might just be like,
just do it.
Did we get what we needed? Yes. Okay, keep going. If you have the time and everything, exactly. I don't time see a problem. Exactly. I don't think there's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's had happened to me where I've been like improvising or like just going with the flow.
So you do and it then as well. I'm like,
then I'm like, oh, I didn't do all of these shots that I really wanted.
Oh,
just
yeah.
because I've like forgotten about it. So I'm trying to get better
avoid on that.
I think,
yeah.
Because I like what I like about commercial jobs, like you'll have the mood board printed out on the walls normally if it's not in the studio. Mm-hmm. So that's nice because you just like turn your head and you're like, all right, like that was easy.
Yeah.
But when it's like on location or something, it might be a bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take your phone out, you're right, but whatever it is you have on. So I don't know. Or having that extra, I don't normally work with assistants, like a photographer.
Yeah.
But I think I should.
Maybe.
Because then while I can have someone moving my lights or whatever I need extra help with.
Yeah.
And then I have like a minute to be like, okay, we've done this kind of like, or ask someone like, what's our next shop? Instead of having to mentally have to like take everything out. So that's my next step or like improving thing I need to work on.
You know what helps me actually? Mm-hmm. On my shot list, I mark the shots that I like, if I don't have enough time, I mark the like least prioritized shots so I know which ones I can leave out if there is no time, and that really helps me to stay like organized, because then I can just look over to my shot list and see like, okay, this shot is yellow, we can leave that, go on.
I like that.
Yeah, it really helped me a lot to like just keep my time schedule and go through it, because otherwise like, I just mark okay
all of them as must, so
yeah. Like, do you know the saying, kill your darlings?
No.
I don't know if that's only like videography, but don't be afraid to like kill your darlings, which means like you have some of like, I don't know, favorite shots.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to get rid of them as well. Yeah. Yeah. Because otherwise you're like, okay, this is important and this and this and this and this and this. But you have to kill your darlings.
Okay, sorry. I'll kill some of them.
Only if you don't have enough time.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just rambling there. I'm sorry. I just got way off track, but this just came to my mind.
I'm really, like, I'm on top of the time normally, so I normally have extra time to try things.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so...
Because I think if you're clear on your idea, you're going to be fast.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, when you don't have a shot list or like you're not clear of what direction you're taking, you're like, so what am I gonna do here, blah blah blah, and then like when you lose time and you start doubting, so if you eliminate the room for doubts and second guessing,
yes,
then everything runs smoothly.
Yes, you can do all of that beforehand. Okay, so then the creative process continues.
Yep.
When you've finished your shoot, does your creative process like change during editing, or do you already know from the beginning how you will edit your photos? I feel like there is a difference between us.
Yeah, for me, and I think for almost all photographers, like I do include on the mood board the editing style.
Yes.
So I'm gonna assume people know if they hire me, they're working with me. They see my style and my photography style and how I do things. So it's kind of implied that that's going to be the direction we're going.
Yeah.
So on the mood board, I'll specify if it's, you know, if I want to add a lot of like blurry effect, or I want to, I don't know, like any effect or different things that I don't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Like as a standard, my photography and editing is vibrant and contrasted.
Yeah.
So you're going to expect that. Like that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I have like this dreamy kind of like glossy effect that's normally almost on all the photos I do, mm-hmm. the level of like aggressiveness might change, but that's a given, kind of, unless we're like, we're not doing that for this one. So that's a given. And then I just like specify the, I don't know, fancy ones, or if I have to shoot in a specific way to achieve that style, then I'll specify that on the mood board. Or if I'm like, oh, I'm going after this type of specific color, that it's a bit more aggressive or like outside the, out of the box, or not outside of my normal editing style, I'll specify it. The only thing I won't go into is like black and white. That's a bit more arbitrary in my case. Unless it's gonna be everything black and white, but otherwise editing is from the beginning, you know. I'll play around with the colors a bit, because sometimes just to see how much I can push the colors or play around, but you'll know the direction it's going.
So for me,
obviously,
it's
if a client pays, we can dial it down and make it fit their brand, obviously. But as a photographer, you're normally hired also for like that.
You're part. Booked for your style,
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think
for me, it's a bit different. I mean, I do I do have my own style when I do my own projects. I do implement that. Like, I don't know if you've realized, but I really like dark colors.
Yeah. Wouldn't have guessed ever.
Well, I like to
Price.
To turn down the, what's it called in English? The brightness?
Yeah.
Every time of every clip. Like, that's what
no
I like.
No highlights, no whites. Lower the exposure.
Love it. Yeah, but as a videographer, I often work together with a photographer. And I try to match the video to the photos.
Yeah.
Or when I have a client, they do have, like, I mean, not everyone like likes the darkness, so I try to talk with them and what they
want.
I
think for videographers, especially, what changes most for you probably is the color grading, because I think as a videographer, your style is more defined on how you pace the videos, how you record them, the angles, rather than the coloring.
You have a lot more to play around with. Like
the coloring, normally it's more guided for like other things, I guess.
I think for me, my
correct me if I'm wrong.
No. I think my personal style I have is not only based on like color grading and like this kind of things as it is like for you. It's also really based on how I tell a story. So I can have like totally different like styles of color grading, but I'm still myself and I'm still having my own style by the way I tell the story or the things that I take, like the things that I film, like the clips, the frames I choose. I feel like that's where I where I'm individual.
Makes sense, but you're explaining.
I'm trying. I'm trying my hardest. And so I have a lot more freedom during editing, and it's kind of like the same. I stick to my shot list. I try to arrange the clips as I planned. I try to like use the music as I planned, but I have so much to play around with. And I am a visual person, as I said. I also change things up. Like, I also like to try it with different music, with different color grading, like rearrange the clips. So I have a lot more to play around with. So some of the times it changes during editing as well.
I mean, because I think for video, you kind of like sometimes once you have the videos, you find a better flow to everything.
I
think
I'm getting really focused on what I'm doing, and then sometimes I just have a better idea than what was on my shot list originally.
Makes sense that it's a bit more unpredictable.
So I don't think I'll get booked by like color grading. I think I get booked by the way I tell my stories.
Well, you can always have someone else color grade your videos, like
future. I actually, that's a really unpopular opinion, I think. I really enjoy editing. I love it. It's such a peaceful thing for me. It's really therapeutic to sit there.
I mean, a lot of photographers don't like editing, but I do enjoy it.
A lot of videographers don't like editing as well, but I really enjoy it. It's so peaceful.
I think, for at least for me, editing is a huge part of my style.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's something I'm not willing at this point.
Yeah.
To like, you know, go away yeah. and have someone else doing it for me. Yeah. I guess at some point I'll have to find someone who can help me. But they're going to be taught how to do that, yeah. I guess. You know, and I would need to find a retoucher that kind of like fits my exactly. vision.
Someone who has your vision. That's difficult.
That's yeah. hard to do. Yeah. Like the most I've done now, it's like I'll send some photos and I'll get the path, the selection path done, just because it's very time consuming. And if I have a lot of projects going on, then instead of spending like a day like doing paths, even with AI now, it's a bit faster, but still, I don't yeah. know. Depending yeah. on the job, I think it needs to be properly done.
Yes.
But I don't know. I haven't sent it anyone yet to like do the skin retouching or the coloring, like not yet, mm-hmm. I guess. Like, cool. I mean, I well, hope one day I'm so busy I need to do so and I can have my own hopefully. Editor. Like, that'd be hopefully. Great. Hopefully. Means things are going absolutely great.
Yes, that would be a goal.
One day.
One day. Keep on. So, I think after editing, the creative process is over because then the only thing that you have to do is revisions. Yeah. They're less creative.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider them part of the creative process.
No, it's like a pain in my existence normally.
Exactly.
I've had so many conversations about shadows or like things like that. Mm-hmm. Just, I'm like, because normally also the person giving you feedback yeah. isn't exactly technical with what they're asking for.
Yeah.
Like once I was doing some e-com retouching, like, you know, changing the background and just adding some shadows. Very basic retouching for e-commerce. But we had like 10 emails. They were like, can you do a more natural shadow?
Well,
and I'm like, yep, I would change it. They're like, can you use the natural shadow on the floor? I'm like, it's the one I'm using. Okay, can you do it more softened? Yes. Now can you do it less often? Because we don't like it. And at some point,
you need to limit the revisions you do.
Yeah, the thing for that project, we had like instead of like back and forth, it was like days of revision.
Mm.
So I don't know. It was a bit of a nightmare for that one. I've learned the lesson. Like,
yeah.
And the thing was, I was working for an agency, so the brand was communicating to the agency, and the person on the agency wasn't like a retoucher or anything, mm-hmm. and probably the person giving the feedback wasn't either.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like they told me to tell you this, and then it was like back and forth all the time, so a bit of a nightmare. I was like, they were like, can you like not create the shadow and use the actual one? I'm like, it is the real one.
It is.
And then they were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, all right, awesome.
Can I end this podcast with like,
yes,
my worst experience?
Please go ahead.
We love your video. Can you please change the music?
Oh no, that's mean.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
Yep. Yep.
Well, on that note.
No, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap.